Good day, folks, and welcome to the final podcast in November, which happens to be our penultimate podcast before Christmas. Today, I'm joined by George on our economics desk and Chris on our trading desk, and I look forward to picking their brains on the current state of the market. With George and Chris, I might add, are in significantly happier places than I am right now. As an Arsenal fan, it pains me to see Chris's beloved Tottenham at the top of the Premier League. And as for George, today is, believe it or not, his last day at Investec. So we will be graced by his final appearance on this podcast series before he heads off to run the family business. It's really been a pleasure working with you, George, and I'm so glad to have you on this podcast for the final time. Welcome, guys. Just to start with, we're almost at the end of November, and there hasn't been a Brexit deal signed off yet. Very, very interested to get your thoughts on this, both of you. Let's start with George. Are we going to get a deal? What's the current state of play on Brexit?
Thanks, Kieran. I really appreciate it. It's been an absolute pleasure working with you over these recent few years. I think the answer to that on the Brexit front, it's the same conversation we've been having recent years. You know, it's that we still expect we're going to get a deal. I think the issue is, of course, that we are now fast approaching the end of the transition period, which is the end of this year, obviously. And, you know, still the two sides are in deadlock over a number of issues. And, you know, they're still the same ones we've been talking about for quite a few months now. So fishing rights, the level playing field and dispute resolution. Now, the suggestions that Boris, the Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, might have a phone call with Ursula von der Leyen, the European Commission President, at some point, and in order to try and ease that deadlock. And that comes amidst reports that you've got Michel Barnier, the EU's chief negotiator, threatening to not come to London for Brexit negotiations this weekend. So, of course, I mean, there is this real risk that we do see an accidental no deal, as has been suggested. But I think what it comes down to, though, is that it would be economically devastating for both sides if there was to be a no deal outcome, particularly given that you've got the challenges of the pandemic as well. So, you know, I think when push comes to shove, there will be some sort of deal. And indeed, the reports this week is that you'll get some sort of transitional arrangement between the two sides, or even some sort of review clauses, so that there'll be a deal and that they'll maybe come back to it at later stages. But, you know, the essence of it is that, you know, at the end of the day, it's not in either side's interest. So we do think that there will still be a deal, albeit it does look like it's going to go right down to the wire.
Cool. I'm going to actually bring in Chris here to get your thoughts, Chris, on Brexit. In terms of where the market is in pricing this in, you know, we've seen sterling rally up to, you know, certainly the 133s, and sterling euro as well. A large part of that is because I guess the market is presuming we're going to get a deal. Would you say it's about 80% priced in? What are you seeing?
I think the overall view is yes, a deal will get done eventually. I do think we'll have the question marks about what kind of deal it is. But yeah, I wouldn't say maybe 80%, maybe more like, you know, 65-70%. I think as time goes on and we still get no news, some doubts will start creeping into the market. But we're not quite there yet. But the lack of news recently, I guess, is, you know, can start to worry. I do feel like people are using options to hedge their downside risk slightly. So we've seen like 1 week risk reversals showing that the market's a little bit prepared to hedge their risk to the downside just in case. But I'm with George. I think a deal does get done eventually. And yeah, I think we will push higher. How high we go, that's enough. We have seen sterling dollar relatively bid over the last month. That's been mainly on like, the US dollar side of things. So we've seen the dollar index drop from 94.2 to just 92 kind of over the last month. And that's kind of like plays in with the move we've seen in sterling as well, from the kind of 129 up to the 134. So I think if we do see some positive Brexit news, we will see that 134 break. I know it's been very stubborn so far, but I think, yeah, at least we'll break above 135 if this is our starting point.
Yeah, so I think I'd go along with that. I mean, I think that for the clients out there who are dollar buyers, I think the tricky bit is to call whether we get the deal and spot is at kind of these levels in and around the 133s, or whether between now and a possible deal being announced, we actually see some heebie-jeebies or some certainly some concern that we aren't going to get it done, and you know, we find ourselves bouncing off a base that's lower than here. So watch the space and keep close to the desk on that. The other big news this week certainly has been the Chancellor's spending review. I was definitely keen to get your thoughts, George, on when does this magic money tree stop growing? What are your thoughts?
So, yeah, we've had the spending review. Bear in mind, it was obviously delayed by COVID. It's also been shortened by COVID, so it's only a one-year one. It was supposed to be 3 years. And really, that's just to sort of keep things ticking over. You know, the Chancellor's allocated more money for the sort of COVID response this year and next year. But I think what's obvious is that the magic money tree doesn't actually exist. You know, I think that's what Theresa May famously once said. And, you know, it was true then, it's true today. And, you know, I think it's really obvious when you look at the OBR's updated projections, particularly on the public finances front. So what you have there is that they're predicting that public borrowing is going to reach 394 billion sterling over the 2020-21 fiscal year. And that will be about 19% of GDP. Now, to put that into context, that's about double the previous peacetime record of 10.1%, which was 2009-2010. And obviously that was after the financial crisis. And we're even at those levels approaching kind of the two world war peaks of 27% in World War II and 28% in World War I. So it's evident that the Chancellor has a challenge on his hands, but at the same time, his priority for the meantime has to be on supporting jobs and protecting people's health. And that, you know, to our minds at least, is the sensible approach at this stage. But of course, he is going to have to shift his attention at some point to dealing with the public finances. Now, we had a bit of a taste of that yesterday. I mean, in terms of the clawback, one of which is going to be a public sector pay freeze for those who are not frontline healthcare workers or those on kind of low incomes. And in addition to that as well, he's cut the foreign aid budget temporarily, but, you know, that's not been without controversy. But yeah, the magic money tree, it doesn't exist. And so, you know, there are going to be tax rises at some point, and we're expecting probably those to be maybe in the budget next year, or maybe even the kind of there'll be some sort of that might be accompanied by spending cuts or some reallocation of spending in the spending review, basically. So yeah, interesting from the Chancellor yesterday, but I think really it's just sort of just keeping things ticking over. There wasn't anything hugely significant, at least from our perspective.
Great, thanks for that. So the other big news, of course, has been on the COVID front and the vaccine front, and how relieved are we all to hear such positive news regarding the vaccines across the board, really. So that has clearly had an impact on markets. We've seen risk appetite pick up, and the safe haven dollar's been sold off a little bit. Equities have rallied. The question I have, Chris, for you is, will we see 134 break? That's been a really staunch resistance level. And do you feel that, you know, there might be some further dollar selling to come on the back of you know, the COVID positive news, and I suppose the Brexit news as well?
Yeah, I think so. I think we might see this dollar selling continue. You're right, 134 has been a tough nut to crack, but I think we will get there eventually. One thing I'm looking at, you're right, we have seen that shift out of the safe haven, the dollar. But for me, I think the next stage is going to be in the US, especially with Biden coming in. Are we going to start seeing more lockdowns in the US? Are we going to see the same sort of things that happen here, like a tiering system? There's already been some states are taking like stricter lockdown measures. So we could see this sort of closing of the economy slightly in the US, which will feed through to the data further down the line. But there's a couple more reasons really to sort of look for this dollar weakness to continue. I mean, but you're right. The COVID vaccination news has been nothing but good. That's why we have seen some of these moves. I guess we're not quite at the point where we start rolling it out. And I think once we get to that stage, we may see another shift. But it certainly looks like we're getting there, especially with the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine. I know the others seem to be more, a higher percentage of above 90%, but I think when you look at the AstraZeneca, it's so much cheaper to make, and there's so less problems about how they distribute it. It doesn't need to be kept at like minus 70 degrees. So I think this is really one's going to come into play. And I think you'll see that really affecting the emerging market a lot more. The problem with the more expensive vaccines was the storage, and that's not really going to work for some of the EM countries. So this AstraZeneca should give real boost to those emerging markets.
Great, Chris. And yeah, if I were to give my 2 cents worth on that, I think, yeah, dollar weakness certainly could be supported by just general risk appetite picking up, and the vaccine use has helped. I think the things for our clients to just keep an eye on for things moving the other way is, one, we haven't had that U.S. fiscal stimulus package agreed yet. Once Biden takes the reins, that will at some point come through. That should give the dollar some support. And let's not forget, that the U.S. being run now by what is will potentially be a more let's say a country not run by tweets, by a more predictable regime, as it were, that actually could have some say in helping the dollar as well. So it's not necessarily a one-sided track, but the direction of travel certainly looks like we might certainly move higher. Finally, George, as this is the last opportunity I'll have to ask this question to you, before you head off, what are, and I'd really like to get your thoughts on just what you feel it lies in store for us for 2021. With all of our clients mostly predominantly focused on sterling crosses, let's focus on sterling dollar. What are your thoughts and the bank's forecasts currently?
So I think, like many people, are expecting obviously the dollar to lose ground over the course of 2021. So it's for the reasons, Kieran, you were just talking about in terms of when we get this sort of stimulus come on board from the Biden administration, that will obviously factor in somewhat. But yeah, a sort of more key consideration is obviously the vaccine rollout. If that goes to plan and we can get the economic recovery really on track, then that should really see some movement out of the dollar and into other currencies. I guess from a domestic perspective, obviously as well, we've got Brexit talks, which we discussed earlier. Obviously, our central expectation is that we do get a deal. So we do think that there'll be some on the sterling front, there'll be some strength there as well. So we are looking for cable to end next year at 140. We're seeing some gains. They're not a huge amount from, I guess, where we are at the moment. But again, it's really dependent on this kind of vaccine rollout as well as the kind of Biden administration. I think just on that front, one thing to flag is that, yeah, there are all these risks. So this isn't a high conviction view. It's not like we're saying 140 guaranteed. That will be what cable is next year. Instead, really, as Chris was talking, we're seeing a resurgence in cases in the States. Partly that's been driven by the Midwest, which is experiencing its kind of first kind of wave or big severe wave. But you're also seeing some of the big states like Texas and California that were really hit badly in the first wave being hit again. So, whether or not that causes some issues in the near term, the vaccine will resolve that. But the other element is, of course, on the Biden administration. Now, the expectation is that Biden has appointed Janet Yellen, the former Fed chair, as his Treasury Secretary. Now, that gave a boost to markets early this week because Yellen is seen as being favoring a looser stance of fiscal policy. So we see more spending from them. But the key issue really is the Senate, and that the Senate hasn't yet been decided, and that's because we've got two runoff elections in Georgia. They are going to be held on the 5th of January. Now, depending on how they shape up, will really be key to Biden, because so far the Democrats have 48 seats in the Senate, and the Republicans have 50. Now they need to win, that is the Democrats, they need to win these both of these races in order to get that to 50-50. And in that instance, what you'd have is Kamala Harris, the vice president, she would have the deciding vote in the Senate, and as such, that would really help Biden's chances to push through not just his stimulus plans, but the rest of his policy agenda. A lack of majority in the Senate would potentially be a real hiccup for him. So obviously that is quite a key determinant of the dollar. So, and obviously Brexit as well. But like I say, our expectation is that there will be a deal. But yeah, lots going on next year. But generally, we're expecting the dollar to lose ground.
Great. So, guys, that's a wrap from us this time around. I hope everyone keeps safe as everything opens up as we move into December, and have you all have a very good festive season. George, from everyone on the FX dealing team and the wider treasury business at Investec, all the very best with your new adventure. As mentioned, it's been a pleasure working with you. Chris, we will no doubt be having some talks about football, but I'm not going to mention hoping that your team stays at the top of the league. I'll end it like that, guys. Have a good December, and we'll speak soon. Bye.